God has a reason for everything. The scattering of the Christians after the death of Stephen, mentioned in the first verse of this 8th chapter, led to the most significant step forward in the ministry of the early New Testament church. One might say that it required persecution to make them fulfill the implicit command given in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. And we dealt with this verse a number of weeks ago. God has a reason for everything. As the Christians moved into new areas, they found a ready response to the gospel. And this is exemplified by the way the Samaritan people welcomed and received the preaching of Philip. The preaching of Philip the evangelist, not the apostle. Philip, one of the seven, not one of the 12. His ministry was accompanied by the kind of signs which had been recognized in the ministries of Christ and in the ministries of the apostles. Philip also figures in a second story, the one before us tonight in these few verses, which again is concerned with the missionary expansion of the church, where the preaching of the Word of God is greatly blessed to the salvation of precious souls. Now, where the preceding story was concerned with Samaria, and I suppose we could say mass evangelism, here it deals with a single convert. So there has been the establishment of the ministry of the early New Testament church. There has been the empowering of the ministry of the early New Testament church. And then, of course, there is the expansion of the ministry of the early New Testament church. And the story before us is about the conversion, not of a Jew, but of a Gentile from the far south. And the story is set in motion by an angel coming to Philip, saying, "Arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So the command in chapter 1, verse 8, is to go everywhere with the gospel. And the scene before us is really saying, even in a desert, verse 28. And sometimes the Lord leads his people into a wilderness or into a desert. Maybe that's the place you feel you've arrived at tonight. Maybe you find yourself in a barren place, a wilderness. It's been a wilderness experience of late. It's been a desert experience of late. Well, the Lord had a purpose for leading Philip even into the wilderness, into this desert place, because God has a reason for everything. And that's really what we want to emphasize again. God had a ministry for him even in the desert, because God has a reason for everything. I have a number of simple things I want to highlight for your attention tonight. First of all, the go, that was strange. Well, if you look at verse 26, the message of the angel was, "Arise and go." Now, that must have appeared strange to Philip. He had been engaged in a very flourishing ministry in Samaria. He had laid the foundation of evangelism in that particular area, and many were coming to Christ. God has been blessing his ministry. Then at the height of his ministry there, he received a strange word from God, a small word, but a deeply significant word. It was the word go. Now, I think that this congregation tonight can identify with how the people in Samaria felt at that time. No doubt they were hoping that Philip would remain with them for a prolonged period of time to teach them and to preach and to be among them as their pastor, as their guide. But that was not to be the case, because God has a reason for everything. And we can identify with this situation, can we not? At this time, the angel of God came and called Philip to leave Samaria and to take a road into the desert place. And maybe you have asked yourself the question in recent times, well, God was blessing God's servant in this congregation. Very popular with the people. A good man, an all-round man for the ministry of the work of God here. Why did God move him along? Because God has a reason for everything. Philip's time in Samaria was ended. God had something else for him to do. And so God just stepped in and he said, go. And the angel of God called him to leave and to take the road to the desert. And no doubt Philip was confused about God's reason for giving him such a command. But he never questioned God's way. He never questioned God's command. This strategy didn't seem to make sense. I wonder, did Philip think, is God punishing me? Have I done something wrong? Have I stepped out of the will of God? Why else would God make him abandon his ministry and send him into a desert? Well, why would God send Elijah to a widow's house to be sustained in a time of famine? There's only one answer. Because he knows best. He knows best. And God has a reason for everything. The Lord had sustained Elijah by providing water there at the brook. And now the Lord was providing a widow to sustain God's servant in her home. I wonder why. Because God has a reason for everything. And God knew that the son in that home would die. Elijah didn't know that at the time. And that's the reason why God sent him to this location to be sustained in the time of famine by a poor widow woman, because when the son died, Elijah was on the spot to assist and to raise that young man from the dead. Because God's ways are strange, and God's ways are always the best. And we have got to take that as from the Lord for this congregation. God's ways are the best. God knows what he's doing. Remember the time when God led the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage? He brought them out by miracle. Could the Lord not bring his people into the land of Canaan by miracle as well? It would have taken a matter of a few days, 10 days, 2 weeks at best. Instead, God led his people into the wilderness, and they were there for 40 years. 40 years before they crossed over the Jordan into the promised land. God led them in strange ways. God said, go this way, take this course. When you think of Matthew chapter 4, in the case of the Lord Jesus, the Bible says that Jesus was led of the Spirit up into the wilderness. Well, the people of Israel were in the wilderness for 40 years. The Lord Jesus Christ was in the wilderness for 40 days. The devil came and tempted Christ and he triumphed. The people of God in the wilderness failed time and time and time again. That's the way we are. When we think of our lives, it's just one failure after another, it seems. But when we think of Christ, he's the one who gives to his people the victory, because he triumphed over the devil and over the power of sin and evil. And in union with Christ, in union with him, we are more than conquerors. Yes, we do fail. We fumble through life at times. But our God is leading us in strange ways. God is perfecting us. He's pulling off the old dead wood to make us more and more like Jesus Christ. So you may be feeling tonight that God is leading you in a very strange way. Philip thought about that, no doubt, when God told him to move. Nevertheless, when he received the word, arise and go, he promptly left his work and went in the direction of the desert. He arose and went, even though he didn't understand what the Lord was doing for him and what the Lord had in store for him. He trusted him to lead him in the desert. Now, that took a step of faith. Obedience is the key that unlocks God's door of opportunity and blessing. When we don't know what God has planned for us, and when we step out by faith and render obedience to the leading of God, then the Lord is leading us to a place of great opportunity and great privilege, and no doubt into a place of great blessing, as was Zacchaeus and Philip, because God has a reason for everything. One task had been completed, and God had another task for him to undertake. And the Lord wants to keep his people busy. He doesn't want us to fall into bypath meadow. He wants us to be busy in these times, busy in the mission field. A pastor of a small church depended upon the offerings that were received on a weekly basis for his living. And for one reason or another, there wasn't enough in the offering plate one Sunday morning. There wasn't enough there to provide him with groceries that he and his family needed. That Sunday afternoon, he prayed that God would be pleased to provide for him. And as he prayed, he felt moved of God to go to the post office. Now, he knew that the post office was closed on a Sunday. And he set off and arrived at the post office. And, of course, it was closed. Nobody was there. And so he sat in his car for a little while, and then he decided to get out of the car and go and check the door of the post office. And as he did, it was a strange thing. As he did so, a man approached him, handed him a bunch of money. He walked away without saying a thing. The pastor didn't know the man. He never saw him again. But he had a handful of money in his hand, enough to provide for the family for a few weeks. You see, the Lord told him to do a strange thing, and he obeyed the inner promptings of the Spirit. He stepped out by faith, and God was pleased to reward him. So here is a strange command. Has the Lord been asking you to do something strange of late? Something that you've never thought about doing before? You may have thought to yourself, how can I do that? That's maybe the very thing God wants you to do tonight. So there is the goal that was strange, but then there's the guidance that was specific. Go to the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert, verse 26. So he has obeyed the command of God. He sets off on his journey. He discovered that he was not alone on that road. The Bible says, and behold, a man. And behold, a man. And he was a man from Ethiopia. He was traveling on the same road. So the point I want to emphasize now, I want you to listen to it because it's applicable to us. God brought the evangelist and the man together. Do you see that? God brought the evangelist and the man together. Let me apply this in the context of Coleraine Free Presbyterian Church. In God's good time, Coleraine and God's man will meet together. Don't despair. We serve a wise God who knows what's best He is a man of his choosing for this congregation. It may not be the man that some of us are thinking about. We want God's man. And the time will come as we continue to pray and seek the face of God. God will bring to the attention of this congregation his man, for God has a reason for everything. Once again, Philip received a direct message from God. God is speaking to him. He tells him to move, and then he tells him to do something else, as the Spirit instructed him. Go near and join thyself to this chariot, verse 28. The guidance was given to him that he needed. Suddenly everything made sense to Philip. The Lord had led him to the desert for this purpose. The Spirit had given him precise guidance to the right place. He proved to be in the right place at the right time. The timing of God is unique. It's always right. He's never in a hurry. You've discovered that, haven't you? Down through the years, God's never in a hurry. He keeps us praying. He keeps us waiting on him that we might receive that wonderful thing that we have been looking for. We have been waiting for. The Lord had led him to the desert for this purpose. It was a land of opportunity. And while the Lord was leading Philip to the place where he wanted him, he was also preparing the traveler to receive the message. And as we have been praying for these past number of months for the guidance of God regarding a man, I do believe in my heart, and I can say it sincerely, God has been working in the heart of a man. Just the way he worked in the heart of the eunuch. Yes, he was leading Philip, but he was also working in the heart of this particular man. Behold, a man. God has a reason for everything. That's the way God works. The eunuch was a man who longed to know God. And I believe God has someone there who is maybe even praying tonight as we gather here about the will of God for his life. A man that has been unsettled of late in his own congregation or in college, whatever. God is working in that individual's heart. We've got to be patient. We've got to be faithful in prayer. We must not give up. We must not lose sight of the promises of God. And lose sight of this fact that this congregation is precious to him. And he loves this people, and he loves this congregation, and he's been with this people in good times and bad times. God knows what's best for this congregation. And in due course, a man will come, because as the Lord leads the oversight, God will continue to move a man in this direction. We see here in this story the providence of God. We're told here about the eunuch. He was returning from Jerusalem, where he had gone to worship. His thoughts were upon the things of God. Furthermore, he was reading a key messianic passage, Isaiah chapter 53. Isn't this an amazing thing? Philip has been preaching in revival in Samaria. People are being saved. We're not told exactly how many, but people are being saved. But God's interested in one man. Behold a man. And in the providence of God, when the man is obedient to the command of God, he's finding a man now who has been exercised about the things of God. He's been up to Jerusalem to worship. I'm not sure to what extent he worshipped, but he's been there to worship. And now he's reading his Bible. Well, not the Bible that we have, the scroll of Isaiah. Did he purchase that up there in Jerusalem? He's reading the Word. God is working in his heart. And then when Philip draws near to him, he's ready to receive the message. And this is something that we, as God's people involved in evangelism, we need never to rush anything. We just need to see the Lord opening up that door of opportunity. Sometimes we do more harm by rushing in instead of allowing the Lord just to work in a man or woman's mind and heart, bringing them to the study of the Scriptures, then making them ready to receive the word that God puts upon the preacher's heart. God, in this perfect timing, had opened the way. Do you see that? God opened a way. Philip may not have understood it at the start, but now he sees clearly. God brought me here for this purpose. Here's a needy soul. Yes, I did have many souls in Samaria, but here's one man that God wanted me to witness to. Philip simply needed to obey. Through all the twists and turns, God will do the same for us when we seek to be witnesses for him. He will arrange and prepare people for us to witness to. And God will bring the evangelist and those prepared people together in his divine providence. Then it will work. Thirdly, the gospel that was shared. The go, that was strange. The guidance, that was specific. The gospel that was preached. Philip followed the Spirit's guidance and approached the eunuch's chariot, verse 30. Like us, he may have been apprehensive about witnessing to a stranger. You know the way it is from time to time. Maybe you're prompted to approach someone or bring up the subject of Christianity, and you're not just too sure about it. You're a little bit apprehensive. You're looking to the Lord to open up that door wide for you. You're not just too sure about it. But he trusted the Lord to give him words to speak to the man. And as he drew near, he heard the eunuch reading from Isaiah 53, appropriate verses, verses 7 and 8. We know that to be the verses now, of course. And he was reading the scriptures out loud, as they did in those times, rather than approaching the man with a prepared speech. Philip started with a question of interest to the Ethiopian. He didn't preach the gospel in such a way, he wasn't seeking to ram it down his throat. You know what I mean by that? He was being led by the Spirit of God, you see. And he's zooming in on this now. He feels the leading of God. God's in this thing. I've got to be careful here. I've got not to grieve the Holy Spirit. I must do this God's way. And he asked the question. He didn't try to let the Ethiopian eunuch know that I'm an evangelist. I know my Bible. I know my scriptures. He asked the question, understandest thou what thou readest, verse 30. And the response came. There's a build-up here. Do you see that? How can I, unless some man should guide me? Well, Philip was the man to guide him. Wasn't he? The man who was obedient, the man who was led of the Spirit of God. This is the man God uses. As a result of his approach, as a result of God's dealings with this man in his own heart, the eunuch then invited Philip to join him in the chariot and explain the passage to him. What do you think of that now? The Lord has taken control of the whole situation. He doesn't have to worry anymore about it. The door's open. The scripture is there. The man has got his Bible in the lap. Come up into the chariot. Sit beside me in the chariot. And it was the eunuch that initiated the thing. You come and sit beside me. The Lord was in the thing, of course. But Philip showed common sense. And he's been led of the Spirit. And the Lord just opened the door. Now it says that he joined himself to that chariot. It's the same word that is used there of the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15. Remember, he joined himself to a man, a citizen, and then went out to feed the swine. He glued himself. So here we can see this evangelist. He's been moved away from Samaria. He's along the desert road. Why is God leading me here? Behold a man. And the man says, now you come and explain the Bible to me. Oh, that's something that Preachers would long to hear on a regular basis. Personal evangelists would long for an opportunity like that. You come and explain the Bible to me. And so he started at the place the eunuch was reading. And what did he do? He preached unto him Jesus. Isn't that a wonderful thought? He preached unto him Jesus. And that's our only message. We've got to preach up Jesus. We've got to point sinners to Jesus. We've got to tell them of the love of Jesus. We've got to tell them about this wonderful Savior of ours. He preached unto him Jesus. So he was asking the right questions, that is, Philip. And it wasn't very long until the individual opens up and expresses his need. So here's good advice for us. Approach people cautiously. Find something that they're maybe interested in. And as we're led by the Spirit of God, that individual will soon open up to us, expressing a need. Soon they will ask for help. And then we can freely share the glorious gospel. When our witness is bathed in prayer, listen to it, when our witness is bathed in prayer, and when we're guided by the Holy Spirit, and when we're walking in the Spirit, with humility of heart, with clean hands and pure hearts before God, when we are in that particular place, then we will begin to see the Lord opening up the way for us to expand the kingdom of God. The scripture is mentioned a couple of times, 32 and 35. The Spirit is mentioned a couple of times as well. And the soul winner is mentioned about 10 times. A blessed combination. The soul winner, using the scripture by the power of the Spirit, sees a soul converted. I think I need to take heed to this. I think we all need to take heed to this. He that winneth souls is wise. And then we've got to move on to a conclusion. Not only do we have the goal that was strange and the guidance that was specific and the gospel that was shared, but we have the grace that was shown. All this story's about grace. Hallelujah. It's about God's grace. Amazing grace. Outstanding grace. As Philip questioned the eunuch and explained the scriptures to him, he soon came to the place where he understood the gospel. Because, as I said previously, the Spirit of God had been working and preparing his own heart. And as a result of that, he trusted Christ. Sitting there in the chariot, the treasurer, an important man in the country he came from. Can you imagine that man going back to that community and using the influence that he had as the Chancellor of the Exchequer, if you like, using that opportunity to declare his faith in Jesus Christ. You can contrast the eunuch's conversion with Saul's conversion. In Saul's case, there was a supernatural vision. There's no supernatural vision here, as in the case of Saul. Yet he believed. So great a thing as a careful reading of Scripture, said one preacher. He was carefully reading the Bible for himself. Yes, he needed help. He needed someone to point him in the right direction. But the point is this, there's the power of the Word of God. The Word of God got a hold of his mind, got a hold of his heart. And all that Philip had to do was to expound it to him. And that man was converted. Immediately after this, we read. That's just a surprising thing. He said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" So Philip obviously had preached to him about the need to repent and to be baptized. Philip didn't say, "You can't be baptized right now. You haven't been a believer long enough." No, he answered, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. Verse 37. To which he replied, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's the confession of his faith. And Philip, being guided by the Spirit, had enough sense to realize this man was genuine. Both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water and they baptized him. I'm not going to commit myself just in case I get into bother tonight. He could have gone down in, both of them down into the water, and Philip could have sprinkled him in the water. Don't throw anything at me now. He could have taken some water and poured it on him. Well, that was the biblical way in the Old Testament times. Or he could have immersed him. We all have different viewpoints on these things. But the point is this. He confessed his faith in Christ. And then by being baptized, it meant something to be baptized in those days. In some cases, it meant being isolated from the family and relatives and loved ones, bearing reproach. So there was a reproach identified with this. But there was a confirmation of his faith. And when I baptize someone, I ask that person, do you confess the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? And that person would say, yes. I now baptize thee in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. You're identifying with Christ. And then as they continued on their journey, he's rejoicing. He went on his way rejoicing in his newfound salvation. And then the Bible says, the Spirit caught Philip away in verse 39. Now, what does this mean? What does this really mean now? Well, the Spirit took him away. And the word that is used there is harpazo, meaning to snatch away, meaning to seize, as at the rapture. Now, the rapture that I read of in the Bible is 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 17. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. This is the rapture I believe in. I believe this is the rapture the Bible teaches. Now, I'm not too sure what this actually means. Some think that it involved a miracle, a supersonic ride, if you like, undertaken with miraculous velocity. I think of what Campbell Morgan said, and I think he wasn't far away from the mark. This is what he said. It's not at all necessary that this should be accounted a miracle. I'm never anxious to read miracles in where they are not, any more than I'm anxious to rule out miracles where they are in. Whatever it means, at any rate, the eunuch did not see Philip again. And that reminds us of another story on the Emmaus Road. The two disciples are traveling. The Lord Jesus Christ himself drew near. He journeyed with them to Emmaus. He entered into their home. He sat down at the table and he spoke to them. And then suddenly, he disappeared. Suddenly he disappeared. Out of their sight. Now, it's not hard to understand the first part, the Ethiopian eunuch rejoicing. Everyone who has experienced salvation in Christ knows the great joy felt by this eunuch. However, it is difficult to know why the Lord caused Philip to disappear so suddenly. Why did he not allow Philip to accompany the eunuch back home to make sure he'd follow the right path? Well, the Lord chose to work differently because God has a reason for everything. Because the eunuch had the Word of God, he had the Scriptures, and they had the Spirit of God within him now. Everything he needed to mature in the Christian life. Of course, this doesn't mean that we shouldn't follow up converts or the new believer whenever we can. Remember, at the tomb of Lazarus, the Lord raised Lazarus from the dead. This is his work. And then he said to the believers or the people around, loose him and let him go. And I say in this, the Lord delivering his people from sin and then handing them over to the local congregation to nurture them and feed them and develop them in the things of God. So this man had the Word of God and he had the Holy Spirit to lead and to guide him. What a wonderful picture we have, that the Lord keeps those who trust in him for his matchless sovereign grace. Now, the eunuch went back to Ethiopia, and according to some, I read this during the course of the week, he started the Coptic church. I can't verify that, I don't know for sure, which has led many to Christ in North Africa down through the centuries. But he went back home, a changed man. And no doubt he lived for Christ. And because of Philip's obedience, generations have been affected ever since. And changed and saved. Because when God spoke to him, he moved on. God just doesn't look at the immediate situation. He looks at the future situation. What doesn't make sense now may only make sense at a future time to a future generation. Next time we read of Philip, he's in Caesarea. He's a faithful man, he's a family man. He was used in mass evangelism. He also was used as a personal worker. Because God has a reason for everything. Now you may be going through a difficult time, strange times we're living in. Rejoice, because the God who loves you is in this thing. Irrespective of what you think or how you may feel at times. And God has a reason for everything. Don't be discouraged. God's in the throne. God will provide. And God will meet you at the point of your need, as he has promised to meet me at the point of my need. Well, we'll bring our Bible study to a close. We'll bow for prayer. And then, once I finish, somebody else would please lead us off in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee that the Lord does have a reason for everything. We may not always realize it at the time. And sometimes in the past we have questioned the way God has been dealing with us. We have to confess our lack of faith at times. But we're encouraged tonight to know that he's in control of every, even little situation, every little burden, every little care that may seem very, very insignificant to us. But thank God, he has a purpose in every little detail. And so, our Father, we leave ourselves before thee tonight as we come again to pray. Teach us how to pray. May the Lord send the Spirit now to guide us to the throne of grace. Bless this congregation. Let us know what we have been saying tonight about the pastor. Lord, we pray that in the not too distant future, that the Lord will guide this church to a man that has been prepared of God, and that in the not too distant future, the under-shepherd will be here in this pulpit, preaching to the congregation on Tuesday nights, seeking to build the congregation up in the faith. Hear us as we pray, and give us liberty to pray right now. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.